Hello, you're about to listen to Late to the Party, a podcast about nerdy things and geekdom, where we're going to try and explain something nerdy to someone who doesn't quite get it. There's going to be spoilers, there's going to probably be bad language, there's going to be the risk of traffic accidents, and random tangents, dick jokes, and other things that are just wholly inappropriate for children or some adults, especially the religious types. Welcome to the party.
And welcome to Late to the Party, an unreliable guide to geekdom with your hosts, Rob
Bernadette.
Hey! Joe's not here, and Bernadette's angry at me because I tricked her into doing the opening, and
he wasn't recording.
And I wasn't recording, and it was great. Made me feel all sorts of amused.
It was very similar to when you like throw a dog a ball, but you don't actually throw the ball, and you just put it behind your back. Yeah, that's pretty much what you did to me.
Yep. I'm an evil pet owner.
Helen, we'll go on. So what are we going to
talk? We just got real deep into our own personal life there, didn't we?
What are we going to talk about today?
I mean, what?
What?
Yes, today we're going to talk about historical fiction and historical fiction in media. Mostly like history shows. And stuff that's on TV, and...
Well, aren't we also going to talk about one of the biggest historical fiction things to come out in the past 20 years?
The moon landing?
No. Are we going to do another conspiracy show episode? Because I'm down.
No. What did you have in mind?
This immigrant isn't somebody we chose.
Oh, Hamilton. Yeah.
This immigrant.
No, I think we'll probably touch on Hamilton, sure.
Yeah.
We can touch on Hamilton. There's a whole bunch of things we can talk about. Things that are historical fictions, things that are based on history that aren't actually historical, but are based very, very heavily on history. Game of Thrones is a great example.
But that's not based on any history.
Based on War of the Roses. It's
what?
Based on the actual War of the Roses.
Oh.
Yeah.
Woo-wee, woo-wee.
Oh, okay. Hang on. I got to look up what the War of the Roses is. But essentially, it was a struggle for the crown in England. I want to say, actually, I think... It was the struggle for the crown in your current historical fiction obsession that you're into right now.
Right before Elizabeth?
Yes, I want to say. It's a series of dynastic wars between the houses of the House of Plantagenet and the House of York. This is... between 1455 and 1487. So it's before
my current obsession.
Yeah, before your current obsession.
About 100 years before.
Yeah. It was a big thing about feudalism and the whole thing of where the House of Lancaster and the House of York were trying to both be on the throne of England because the current king, Henry VI, was sick, and they were all trying to go, oh, hey, I actually have claim to the throne. No, I have claim to the throne. And, like, that's the whole first season of Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but...
The House of Lancaster and the House of York?
The Lannisters and
the... And the Starks?
Okay. I will give it some of that, but there are definitely characters in Game of Thrones. I feel like Game of Thrones pulls from a lot of British, is that right? British monarchs throughout history?
Yeah.
Because Little Lannister. I can't think of his name.
Which one?
Little Lannister.
Joffrey, Tommen?
The little...
Tommen, the... Technically, they were both Baratheon, but anyways...
No.
The blonde kid?
Not the kid. The little person.
Oh, Tyrion.
Tyrion.
Based very heavily on Richard III.
Really? Richard III?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Richard III was, shall we say, crippled.
Okay.
Yeah. He had, I believe, a hunchback.
I see.
Yeah. By the way, the Shakespeare plays are very, very similar to the idea of very... They're accurate. Relatively accurate. So. But yeah, that's a really strong example of history within fiction.
Fiction, yeah.
There's also a lot of, like, Doctor Who does it all the time, too.
Yeah.
Talking about Charles, like, season one, one of my favorite episodes of Doctor Who is from the first season of the Revived series, where they go back and meet Charles Dickens.
Oh, yes.
I love that episode. It's so good. And he's doing a reading of A Christmas Carol, and he gets the idea for his book Edwin Drood that, yeah, that was very cool.
Mm-hmm.
I like that episode.
So I have a question. Okay. Is there a... You would consider yourself a history nerd, correct?
I would consider myself a history fan. I don't know if I'd call myself a history nerd. I'm not... I like skimming the surface of history, but I enjoy I really enjoy historical fiction, mm-hmm. things based on true events.
Okay.
If it's a film or a TV series, I'm a big fan of biographies and biopics are. A guilty pleasure of mine. I know most of them are super inaccurate.
It depends on your biopic, but yeah.
I love Walk the Line. I think that's a great film.
I'm assuming that's terribly inaccurate.
Oh, God, yes.
Oh,
God, yes.
So you're telling me that Johnny Cash's first wife wasn't a total crazy bitch?
Oh, more than that. She wasn't even white.
Well, what?
Oh, yeah. Hang on. I'll find a picture for you. But yeah, Johnny Cash's first wife isn't white. She was, I believe, of mixed race descendancy. I was trying to find a good way to say that. All right, I'm gonna jump on my soapbox for a second. When I was a kid, mulatto was still an okay term.
Okay.
In the 90s.
Yep.
So. I understand that it's not an okay term now. I just have trouble sometimes not using it because I grew up around school teachers using the word mulatto.
Correct.
In the 90s.
Yep.
I understand now that was not okay then either.
Mm-hmm.
But so sometimes my brain immediately switches to that word and I go, no, I cannot use that.
And you go to the next word that became big, that is not...
Mixed race?
Mixed is not an okay term anymore.
Oh, okay. It yeah. isn't? Oh, yeah. What is then? Multi-ethnic? Is multi-ethnic acceptable?
I'm not sure what the acceptable term is, but I know that mixed race is considered offensive.
I'm going to go with multi-ethnic for now.
Yep. Yeah.
When someone tells me otherwise, then I will take it. But understand, this is coming from a place of I did not know that, and
are insinuating that
there's
a dilution of race.
Oh, sure. Okay, I see what you mean.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. No. All right. I understand why that's not an okay term now, and I'm glad you told me. Yep. I just didn't know. I don't know what the... But I
gotta educate you on something.
That happens from time to time.
Aww. Okay, so Johnny Cash's wife.
Cash's wife, whose name is escaping me right now. But let me find this and make sure I'm telling the truth, too. But yeah.
So the accuracy of your fiction does not... historical fiction does not particularly matter to you.
The accuracy? No. Usually not. No.
Is there any, like...
If you tell a good story, I'm happy.
Okay. No, I can totally get behind you on that.
Anyways, Vivian Liberto. Here's a picture.
Oh, damn. She's
gorgeous, but...
Hella pretty.
Definitely not white.
No, definitely not.
They're definitely not specifically Caucasian.
Correct.
And that's also not an acceptable term anymore either.
We need new language.
We do. We're scrapping English, everyone. I've made a decree. We're done with English. From now on, flarble.
Excuse me.
No, stop it.
Okay,
don't
whatever.
Do it.
Anyway.
Do it. I was kidding.
I wanted to do the whole podcast in a different language.
No.
Anyway.
Also, here's a picture of her when she's older. Vivian Liberto.
Okay, so she is like 10 times prettier than June Carver.
Wow, really?
Yeah. June Carver doesn't do it for me.
June Carter?
Whatever.
June Carter Cash. Yeah, I thought June Carter was very attractive, but yeah, you're right.
Show me another picture just so I can judge these women equally.
You want a picture of June Carter now? All right, here, I'll show you a picture of June Carter. There's a picture of June Carter.
Yeah, no, Vivian is much prettier.
Hmm. All right. I don't know if I agree with you, but that's okay.
Now that we're done judging women based on their physical appearance.
Sure.
And back to historical fiction, I really enjoy accurate historical fiction. I was going to ask you a question. What are eras that you tend to go towards?
I'm a big fan of American Revolutionary period, as well as just the overall world Revolutionary period. There are so many... That whole time period, 1750 to about 1800.
Oh, okay. When you said revolution, I was like, so when any country's going through their own personal revolution,
the revolutionary era.
Our revolutionary era, you nationalist?
No. America had a revolution in 1776 to 1781. Okay?
Correct.
France also had a revolution at the same time.
Correct.
Spain... had one shortly thereafter. I want to say early 1800s. I would have to check that real quick.
Okay.
It was generally just throwing over monarchies and putting in actual governments.
Okay.
That weren't decreed by God.
Oh, that's fair.
But yeah, that whole period I really like. But specifically, I'm a big fan of the French Revolution and the American Revolution.
Oh, that's cool.
Those are two time periods that I really enjoy. I highly recommend, if you've never watched it, the miniseries John Adams. It's available on Amazon. It stars Paul Giamatti as our second president, John Adams. It's very good.
Correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't John Adams the one who was like a nervous mess all the time? And the only reason anything got done was because of his fantastic wife? Yep. Okay. I'm just making sure that I'm knowing what president we're talking about.
Yep. Paul Giamatti plays John Adams. David Morse, who I imagine not a ton of people know who he is, plays George Washington.
Okay.
His wife is played by Abigail Adams. Is played by I'm gonna forget her name, but I can see her face really clearly. I'll look it up.
And again, are we talking about, on a scale from 1 to 5, how accurate would you say it is?
7.
Ah, I said 1 to 5.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then I'll give it a 3.5.
Okay.
Which is, if we translated that to a 1 to 10 system, would be 7.
Oh, all right.
Because I'm a dick. But no, I would say it's about a 3.5.
Okay.
It's pretty. Laura Linney. Laura Linney played Abigail Adams. She was awesome. Stephen Delane, who a lot of people know now as the guy from. He is Stannis Baratheon from Game of Thrones. He played Thomas Jefferson. He's super good in that as well. pull up other people. Oh, yeah, Tom Wilkinson is in it, too. No one remembers him, though, and that's too bad. But anyways. Also, do you remember Rufus Sewell?
No.
No? Do you remember the movie A Knight's Tale?
Yes!
Do you remember the bad guy from that movie?
Yes.
Rufus, that's Rufus Sewell.
Who does he play?
Alexander Hamilton.
Oh.
He's pretty enough. I mean...
I mean, yeah.
Definitely pretty enough.
Okay.
But anyways, that's just me.
Speaking of wonderful, trashy, terrible historical fiction, oh my god, can we talk about A Knight's Tale for a second?
Oh yeah, actually that's a pretty good choice, because that's, like, they use an actual historical person.
What?
Geoffrey Chaucer. Played by Jarvis.
Mm-hmm.
The actor's name is escaping me right now.
Yeah.
I'll remember it when I remember it. But yeah, Geoffrey Chaucer was a real person.
Oh, well, I guess he's the...
And he's the... Yeah, he's the...
the writer?
The hype man. The writer.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah. God, it's going to bug me that I don't remember his name. Ugh.
But
anyways.
That is a... I really enjoy when they have no illusions that they're trying to be historically accurate.
Like, right.
They
took a time period, just put people in it, and then sort of did a whole, I don't know. I liked the addition of modern music in the soundtrack of the film. I thought that was great.
Some people hate it for that reason.
I love it for that reason.
Yeah. I personally dug it a lot.
It turns it into like a sports film.
Yeah.
Which is super cool.
And it makes me... Well, more than choosing a time period, I feel like somebody just spent a lot of time at a Renaissance fair, and they're like, we need to make a movie about this shit.
Yeah. If you look at A Knight's Tale as if it were a... Not a historical drama or comedy drama, but as... A group of Ren Faire participants
who wanted to make a movie.
Oh god, then it's perfect. It's brilliant. Also, Shannon Sossaman, this is my weird obscure lady crush for life. She plays the love interest in that movie.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
I would leave you for her.
All right.
I'm only saying these things because you keep making the noises of, I don't understand your choices.
I just, she's okay.
I find her adorable. I think she's got that cute indie girl actress look that I find irresistible.
All right.
It's the same way I feel about Winona Ryder. Although Winona Ryder was too old for me by the time I started watching Winona Ryder films.
What the fuck? I'd leave you for Winona Ryder right now. She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous now. She looks great now.
Yeah.
I also feel the same way about Marissa Tomei. She looks great now.
Marissa Tomei.
She was the most recent Aunt May in Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. But we digress.
We digress.
So, historical fiction, what are your favorites?
Oh, okay. So right now I am totally obsessed with Rain.
I'm going to take this drink here.
Oh my god. So one of my favorite time periods is just like Elizabethan era.
Mm-hmm.
And in all of this time of Elizabethan era, I ran across this historical figure who I absolutely fell in love with, Mary Queen of Scots. And she's such a motherfucking badass in history. She's so awesome. Super tragic life, super tragic story. And somebody told me, they're like, oh, they made a TV show about her. And I was like, all right, let me check it out. I'm pretty sure the CW did it. And if the CW didn't do it, it's something that the CW would do.
Rain?
Yes.
Yes, CW did it.
Oh, yeah. It is a teenage drama in French court with somebody who happens to be a queen. And it's trashy, and it's terrible, and it's historically inaccurate.
And you love it.
And I love every second of it. Oh, God. Like, I get frustrated when there's, like...
So, yeah, this was something we were talking about the other day when we brought up the idea of doing this. Clothing. Clothing in these in these historical period dramas.
So inaccurate.
Yeah.
So inaccurate. But here's the thing. If you look at the background characters, 80% of the background characters are dressed historically correct.
Uh-huh.
And then they put the main characters in, like, a strapless chiffon number. And I'm like, what the f-?
With sheer fabric.
With, yeah, that's what I meant. Like, and then with print on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you don't understand that print didn't exist yet. Embroidering did. Oh, but you can't pay somebody to embroider that because that would be your fucking costume budget gone.
Probably.
So, and that's one of the things with especially one of the time period that I enjoy in costuming and clothing. If you wanted to get your stuff completely historically accurate,
mm-hmm.
you are spending a lot of time, money, and budget in things that people can't wear. Like, oh, I can't remember what the actress was. Famous old Hollywood. Well, anyway, I'll think the
Are you speaking of one of my favorite movies of all time?
What movie?
Gone with the Wind?
No.
Okay.
This woman is playing...
P.S. I really like Gone with the Wind, and I know that it's super problematic these days, but I don't mind. I am well aware of its problematic issues in the film, because it was made in 1939, and we were still pretty, you know, passé about how to appropriately talk about slavery and African Americans in film. We were still really terrible about it at that time, but I don't care. I actually really like the movie, despite its faults.
All right, you digress from my point.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
But anyway,
I know a lot of people have trouble with that movie now because it is super racist.
Well, anyway, the point I was trying to make is that famous Hollywood actress, old golden years of Hollywood, is playing Queen Elizabeth in this movie.
Okay.
And she demands that her stuff has to be accurate, historically accurate. They put this actress in this historically accurate costume, and in 10 minutes she's on the ground. She can't stand up because the weight of the stuff that they had to put you in. And especially with Queen Elizabeth, she would have chainmail under her corset because Queen Elizabeth was fucking nuts and totally thought everyone was out to kill her all the time. And they may or may not have been. But to go to the extreme where you're putting an extra little chain thing between you and it's insane. So that's, I understand they don't do historically accurate clothing for one of those for that reason.
Sure.
But no, I'm absolutely in love with the show. If you don't know about Mary Queen of Scots, I'm going to give you a quick lowdown on her real quick. So she was Queen of Scotland, and was supposed to be heir to the English throne. It was kind of a toss-up after Queen Mary died. Other Mary, Mary of England, Mary Tudor. If her or Elizabeth was going to be named... well, her, Elizabeth, or Jane. There's this whole clusterfuck of people who could have taken the throne at the time. So she, at a very young age, like at 6, gets sent to live in France with what was going to be her future husband. And ends up being Queen of France and Queen of Scotland and tries to take the English throne. Oh, God, her whole life is so, like, the grabs for power that this woman made throughout her life are so interesting. Except in Rain, they make her go to France for the first time when she's 17, which is completely inaccurate because she'd been there since she was six.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't make it good for a good story. If you're 6 years old and you've known that you had to marry the same guy since you were six, you can't have that same drama of, oh my God.
P.S. I believe the movie you were talking about before was the movie The Virgin Queen, 1955, starring Betty Davis as Elizabeth. All right.
Yes. Thank you.
You're welcome. I had to search it.
So Betty Davis was very, when they first were doing costume, very, she's like, I want it to be historic, because she's an actress, and she's very...
You should look up the feud between Betty Davis and Joan Collins sometime. There are some really good pieces, and I believe a biopic about it. That sort of stems from this movie, The Virgin Queen.
Oh.
Yeah, because they were in it together. But, okay. Sorry, I digress.
But anyway, I am just ranting about my love of Mary Queen of Scots and this show, and it's so inaccurate, but it's still so much fun because I enjoy the time period. I enjoy the pageantry of it.
I think...
And the main actress...
Sure.
Oh, she is the most gorgeous woman to ever walk this planet.
Adelaide Kane.
Yes, Adelaide Kane, and I love her.
You showed that to me so you wouldn't have to pronounce it, right?
Correct.
All right.
And to show you how gorgeous she is.
Okay. We are two different people. We get to disagree on this stuff.
Anyway.
But the thing that I was going to say about historical fiction is I think the reason we like it so much is because we like the setting and we like the romanticized version of the setting, that the actual historical story doesn't matter.
Though
accuracy is nice, yes.
I disagree with you. I think it's... I'm going to compare it to being a foodie.
Okay.
So there is some historical, and I'll call Band of Brothers historical fiction because
it is.
Oh, it's super, super accurate.
Yeah.
But a lot of the characters, a lot of the people who are in this guy's book are put together as characters that weren't real but that's super accurate, super, and that is the height of historical fiction for me.
See, and I don't like... That's just it. I don't like World War II pics.
Okay. Well, you're wrong.
Well, I know. They're just not... They're not interesting to me because it's just a whole bunch of blood and gore and yada, yada, yada. The Revolutionary War, Civil War, early American history, and early gunpowder... is fascinating to me because it gives me the bits in between. So, you know, you've got rifles, so those will kill motherfuckers real quick. But you've also got real long load times, so you have to be able to, you know, pull out a sword and fight somebody. I actually really like movies like Braveheart. I don't like Braveheart. Terrible movie, and it's an abomination. Mel Gibson should be ashamed of himself for more than just being an anti-Semite. That sort of that early era of rifling, and that early era of gunpowder, I love that era because it's. There's that moment of, you know, range fighting, but you also have to get up close.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something satisfying about that. There's also a whole lot of talking in those movies.
Yeah.
There's more political drama in those.
I will argue that depending on the World War II pick that you're seeing, there's not in Band of Brothers, there's not so much politics, but the real storyline there, if you take the fighting out of this war, out of Band of Brothers, what you have is great scenes of male coming of age, male bonding, and I was going to say, I was like watching people mentally deteriorate. Because you meet most of these guys when they're 18, and by the end of the show in the series, they've been at war for such a long time, and seeing the dramatic change from who they were when they were at boot camp to who they are when they're going home. Yeah. It's haunting. It's haunting. I love it.
Okay.
Because I'm fucking sick.
No, it's okay. It's fine. No worries. So, to come towards the end here about historical fiction, is there any one that you would absolutely recommend?
In historical fiction, are we talking, I would recommend The Other Boleyn Girl.
Okay. That's a book, but also a film, I believe?
Yep.
Okay.
The Other Boleyn Girl is a book and a movie. The book is, I have issues with the writer's style sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But the movie is very good. And she definitely, I can't remember the writer's name,
Philippa Gregory.
Yes.
Philippa Gregory.
Yes. Yeah. She wrote the book and helped write the movie, The Other Boleyn Girl. And she does an excellent job of, she does her research. That's really what it comes down to, is that she puts time and research into her novels, and then from there says, all right, how do I make all of this historical information that I have, how do I make it sexy?
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. She's like, how can I make this sexy without putting them in sheer?
Right. Oh my god, my phone. I'm sorry, folks.
Party fell.
Sorry, I fixed it. There we go.
What is the one historical fiction you would recommend?
Turn, Washington Spies.
Ah.
It is a television show on A&E. I'm just checking real quick. I think it's done after the next season they do. Yes. Yes, it is. I believe. It is. Hang on. I'm just checking real quick. It had a total of how many seasons? Episodes. Tell me. Yep. Okay. So it had 4 seasons. It just ended. Actually, it's the last episode is later this week. Interestingly enough, yeah, it's this Sunday, this coming Sunday. So that's fascinating.
Yeah.
Look, see, that's interesting. So yeah. I like it. I think it's a fun show. It also stars one of my personal favorite indie actors, Jamie Bell.
Aww.
Some people might know who he is. Some people might not. That's okay.
I have no idea.
And you should find him. He's great.
Yeah, yeah. I'm.
But anyways, that's. That's my choice. I say do that one. It's a pretty great show, I will say. Otherwise, yeah. If you haven't checked out Hamilton, you should do that now. But, yeah. So, this week's episode is going to be a short episode. We're not even going to take breaks. So, we are coming to the end of the show. And I think we're going to skip doing a geek fight. But a couple things to pimp. Joe's book, Pipe and Pestle, is available on Amazon. You can find it there. Search Pipe and Pestle or search Joe Weinberg. You will be able to find it very quickly. Be sure to also leave him a review. Those really help him out.
And hopefully my first installment of Shit I Can't Say on Facebook is going to be out this Friday.
Oh, yeah?
Yep. So I'm starting a blog.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So it's just going to be a bunch of social rants, social, personal. I'm trying to keep them broader topics so I don't just make like a personal journal.
And where can we find that?
I'm going to have it on WordPress.
Okay.
I may or may not still be in the editing of the first
sure.
thing. But yeah.
Okay.
So that should be out on Friday.
This Friday?
This Friday.
August 11th?
August 11th, yep. I will...
Yes, August 11th. I was doing math, that's all.
Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah, other than that, Minnesota Renaissance Festival is approaching very quickly in 2 weeks. I'm going to be out there. You should come find me. I'm at the King's Stocks most days. I'll be there. Say hi. And also come say hi to our other... co-founders of Geek by Numbers, Kevin and Nick. They'll be hanging out with me.
Yeah. So yeah, and Geek by Numbers is a thing.
Yep. Go to geekbynumbers.com. Be sure to check out the other podcasts over there. There is, of course, my other show, Best Threesome Ever, but also a new show called Villain Coffee Hero Tea. They're fun. If you enjoy deep dives into heroes and villains, it's all for you. Also, be sure to check out Digital and Vellum, our booktuber series, as well as catch up on all of the first season of The Lair. That was super fun to shoot, and it sounds like we're going back into production in October, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I don't know. Could be.
Possibly. Maybe. Maybe. Maybe.
I think only dogs can hear me at this point.
Yeah. Well, I think that's all.
Yeah, I think that's it. So thank you so much for listening to our incredibly short episode this week. And be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave us a review there. And yeah, be sure to, if you like us enough to support our Patreon, please do. We do a cool thing over there where you get the episode earlier in the week, and you also get a pre-show bit of nonsense. That's fun.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that's it for us. So, until next time, I'm Rob.
And I'm Bernadette. Welcome to the party. I got to do the outro. Suck it.
Hey, everybody, this is Rob. All this week's music has been provided to us by our good friend Byron Siren. You can check out Byron at his website, byronsiren.yolasite.com. And after winter, there comes a war to make.